The book is called This Chair Rocks, A Manifesto Against Ageism. I have been blogging at This Chair Rocks for quite a while, and it is a very American play on words, I'm afraid. It's a pun on the idea of rocking, as in this rocks, and it's also a statement that against the idea of the sedentary older person just sitting in a rocking chair. It's fine to sit in a rocking chair, of course, but it's not something that all of us want to do with all of our later years. We want to be out in the world making a difference.
Why did you start blogging about ageism?
I had no idea what I was getting into. I was 55 or so. I think I was getting anxious about getting old. I started a project about older workers, people in their 80s and 90s who work. They were a dime a dozen, and they were amazing, which didn't surprise me. What did surprise me was that everything I learned about longevity was totally wrong. I mean, so much more negative than I thought. I thought the odds of ending up in a nursing home were decent. And I was floored to learn that the percentage of Americans in nursing homes is 4%, down from 5%. In the last decade, you know, the numbers are dropping, that people are happiest at the beginnings and the ends of their lives, that older people enjoy better mental health than the young or middle-aged. And I thought, why don't we know this stuff? So that was the catalyst for the book. And the reason we don't know it is because of ageism.
Can you explain for people like me who don't understand the term very well what it means?
Well, I often say age is to ageism as sex is to sexism. It's discrimination and stereotyping on the basis of age. It's ageism every time we come to an assumption or a judgment about a person or a group of people based on how old we think they are. Whether, you know, I'm too old for that, she's too young, you know, really. Age, chronological age, the older we get, the less reliable an indicator it is of pretty much anything about what a person is capable of or interested in or like.
What are some of the ways it manifests itself in everyday life?
Well, one of the ways it manifests itself is paradoxically in the absence of older people from the media, from the streets, from the public discourse. You know, that's a way, you know, if people are missing from the scene, so are the issues that affect us, right? Probably the most pernicious place for ageism is between our ears, because we are all ageist. We all are prejudiced. And so one of the first things, we can't challenge bias unless we're aware of it, and there hasn't been a movement yet. You know, we had the women's movement to raise awareness of sexism and the civil rights movement to raise awareness of racial injustice. But not until now have people started to come together to say, hey, this is really, discrimination is a political problem and a personal problem, because when we grow up in a culture that barrages us with messages that it's terrible to be old and wrinkles are ugly and old people are sad and incompetent, then unless there's a counter message out there, that becomes part of our identity and they become self-fulfilling prophecies and we think, maybe I am too old for that. Well, you're not too old for it. You may be too tired for it. You may be too lazy for it. You may just not want to do it. But your age is not the reason. And the reverse is true, right? We're also capable of all sorts of things that shouldn't be constrained by age. They're constrained by who we are, what we're good at, what we want to do, what we're capable of.
Do women suffer more this form of discrimination?
When we push back against ageism, we also make the world a better place for women and obviously for people with disabilities and for children, because ageism also marginalizes people at the young end of the age spectrum. Women face the double whammy of ageism and sexism. There is a message in this society that a woman, you know, becomes less attractive, whereas a man becomes more distinguished. And that, of course, is a function of patriarchy and of sexism. All isms, racism, sexism, homophobia, operate to keep existing power structures in place. They pit us against each other instead of mobilizing. I mean, the classic example is pitting factory workers, you know, against each other, black against white or Irish against Italian, when it works better for the workers if we get together and say, how about a living wage and better working conditions? So when women believe that we are less attractive and less powerful and less important in the world, less ourselves than we were when we were younger. I don't think any of us actually believe that. And that's why the response to my work has been so strong. But it means waking up to and resisting the messages in this culture that say, if you are older, you are lesser. Because we know that's not so, and we need to put that truth out in the world.